The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
But Luke chapter 5, let's read together verse 1 through verse number 11. We're just going to stop at verse number 5. So why don't you read along with me out loud, beginning at verse number 1. Ready? And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Isn't that great right there? What'd they come for?
To hear the word of God.
Hear the word of God. I love that. And he stood, ready, by the lake Gennesaret. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Say that again with me. What did he say?
Launch out into the deep.
Today's message, we believe in launching out. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you that we can study the Bible. We pray that this message this morning would be clear, straightforward, and that it would cut right to our hearts, encourage us and challenge us and convict us. Lord, I ask for your help, and I pray that each of us would be assembled as the crowd was that day, that we would be eager to hear the word of God and make the commitment. May we all make a commitment right now, Lord, that if you speak, we will obey. If you speak, we will obey, just like Simon Peter. So again, help us. We thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, this morning we are in Galilee, actually. And we do believe in launching out by faith. In this account that we read of, you'll look at verse number 4 again. It says, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I just have to say, I've looked at that word a bunch of times over my life and never known how to pronounce it, so I definitely looked it up, and that is the English spelling of the word draft, and it is pronounced either draft or draught. So if you're like me and struggle with such things and they bother you to your inner core, Otherwise, that's the answer. Otherwise, the rest of normal people can carry on. But that's that. It's a catching in or a drawing in. He says, Peter, let down your net for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So as you see, we are in Galilee. That's Gennesaret. You saw that word Gennesaret. As you read in the Gospels, you'll see three names, actually, for the lake. It's the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake Gennesaret, or sometimes even the Sea of Tiberias, who was one of the Roman rulers. So if you see those three names, it's all the same thing. Just like if you drive up into Vermont, you've got Lake Whitingham, also known as Harriman Reservoir, depending on who you are. So different names for the same location. So they are, and there are. There's a lot of great stuff in Galilee. Some of you have actually been there. I've never been able to, but Galilee is a rural setting. And on the map, if you were to look at the map, you've got Jerusalem down in the south, and Nazareth was where Jesus was a couple of weeks ago in our study. He moved a little bit north, right onto the border of the Sea of Galilee, to the town of Capernaum, which is not on the map. But that's, again, further up north. And as he got there, I believe we looked it up a couple weeks ago, and we discovered that's about 70 or 80 miles distance apart. And he ends up in the region of Galilee. So Galilee is both a reference to the sea, the lake, if you will. It's also a reference for the region. And the several pictures here, the scenery around the Sea of Galilee is quite picturesque. It's very rural. It's mountainous around there, and these are pictures taken, obviously, in the modern day. So this is what it looks like today, right now. Now, as they went, if you look with me at verse number Verse number one, it came to pass that people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He saw two ships in verse 2 standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them. In 1986, archaeologists uncovered a 2,000-year-old fishing vessel that you can go to Israel today and you can actually see. So when you're looking online or in books and you see pictures of artist renderings of what this fishing boat looked like, they're actually, most of those pictures are very, very accurate. And as you can see, it was basically an oversized canoe, and it would have had a very simple construction of a sail. Just enough to fit a crew of fishermen in there, and all of the most precious tool, this is important, so I'll say it one more time, the most precious tool that these fishermen had was what?
Nets.
Exactly. It was their nets. And so they would spend a lot of time conditioning their nets, protecting their nets. And so for you young boys and girls that might be here today listening, this kind of fishing was not on a pole, but rather they would have these large nets. And these nets, they would stand up in that fishing boat, and they would take these nets, and they would fling them out into the water. And the net would splash on the water, and they'd have a cord on the net so that they could drop back in. It would have weights on the side, so the net would hit the water, splash in the water, and the weights would drop it down, and then they'd cinch it up with a rope. And if they had done well, then as they brought it in, there'd be a few fish in there. And they'd bring that in. And over time, what would happen to the nets? Well, they would begin to wear out. So they would spend time on the shore. And probably what they're doing right now, we see this elsewhere when Jesus interacts with the fishermen, is a lot of the time they spend when their boats, when they're not out fishing on their boats, they're in their boats doing what? Yeah, they're mending their nets. They're caring for that. So Jesus is being pressed upon. I mean, there are crowds of people that have all gathered around Jesus. And as they gather, Jesus is looking to get a break from the crowd. So what he does is he finds one of these fishing boats. But it wasn't just any fishing boat, because this fishing boat happened to belong to whom?
Peter.
Yeah, Peter and Andrew. It was their dad's boat. They were fishermen. And this, by the way, is the first glimpse that we have in Luke's gospel of Jesus interacting with the disciples. The first time. We're already to chapter 5, and this is the first time we see the disciples on display in Jesus' life. So what happens is this. Jesus gets in the boat. Now, the reference here, if you look at it, when he gets in the boat, he asks him to thrust out from the land. So they get in the boat, and they push the boat just out into the water, just a little bit. I guess if you're the crowd, I'm coming this way instead, right? Just far enough away so nobody would want to get wet and come and grab a hold of him and touch him. And Jesus just sat down in the boat, and he taught the people. And they listened and learned. But now the sermon is over. Now the teaching is done. Verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Now if we put together the other stories from all around the Gospels, Jesus, I believe, would have already known Simon. And exactly where this story fits, we're not exactly sure. In the other Gospels, they give us a more clear example of when Jesus called them to be his disciples. But right here, what we have is the first interaction with the disciples. And we can learn a lot from this because you and I, we are called, just like Simon Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus. I forgot the rest. There's a great song that helps you remember all those disciples. Just like all of those disciples, the life of the Christian, we are also called to be. Right? You with me this morning? That's a rainy, tired morning. What are we called to be? We're called to be disciples. What does he ask these disciples to do?
Launch out.
To launch out. Launch out. We try to talk a lot about steps of faith, right? We talk, one of the themes that we try to encourage with people as they grow in Christ is to take next steps. And often we'll say, hey, take a small step of faith. How many of you have seen huge blessings from a small step of faith? Amen? Come on now, is it only four of us? Have you seen huge blessings from a small step of faith? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen, there you go. Huge blessings, small steps of faith. And through those, that journey in life of following Christ, he does that, he shows himself to us. But what I want to encourage you with this morning, and challenge you with, especially as we think toward our missions conference and our missions emphasis right now, is there are times in life where God is not asking you to take a small step of faith. God is not asking your next step to be a little step. Sometimes God comes into our lives and he challenges us to take a big step of faith. You with me? And this could be one of those moments in your life. There are times in life where God says, you've taken a lot of small steps. You've been faithful. I've shown myself to you. I've shown myself strong. But there comes times in life where God says, now it's time to launch out into the deep. To take a big step of faith. And what's awesome about the story is when Jesus says, launch out, at the beginning where we just read, he's actually not asking for a big step from them, is he? Think about it. What did he ask them to do? Listen, launch out to the deep and throw down your nets for a draft. And what do they say? Lord, I mean, all night long we've been fishing, because they fished at night, not during the day. All night long we've been fishing and we haven't caught anything. But what's it hurt? What's the harm? So, really, that launching out was a small step of faith. Mm-hmm. But where we're going to end up is that small step of faith would become the launching point for the life of those disciples. And by the end of the account that we read about today, that little step of faith has resulted in Simon Peter, Andrew, the disciples, preparing to take the biggest leap of faith that they would ever take in their lives. And it could be that you're here this morning, and that's how God's working it in your life. Listen, you could be here this morning, and God might be saying, yes, you just need to start with a small step of faith. But I believe with all my heart that there could be people young and old in this room, and God's desire for your life and God's desire for my life is that, hey, it's not time just to peep out and take a little step. It's time to launch out by faith. Can I ask you this, though, this morning? If God called you to launch out, would you obey? Would you obey? I mean, seriously, how about this? If we had missions conference, don't answer so quickly, right? If we had go to missions conference, I don't want to scare anybody away from missions conference, but if we have missions conference and God says, I know you're 43 years old. Anybody in here 43? I don't think so. So I think I'm safe. Okay. I know you're. Maybe there is somebody. So I just tried to pick one that I didn't think anybody was. You're all much younger than that. So 40. I know you're 43 years old, but I want you to quit your job. I want you to train for the ministry, and I want you to go be a missionary. That'd be a big step of faith, amen. If God spoke, would you go? If you're a young man or a young lady, and God says, I know you have a plan for your life, I know you want to do this, but I've got a bigger plan for you. I've got another plan. I want you to change your career path, change your education path, and I want you to launch out and prepare to go to the mission field. Would you say yes? Many, many people are called to full-time Christian service as teenagers. Even boys or girls. God called me to preach when I was about 16 years old. He'd begun that work in my heart when I was as young as 11 years old. And he confirmed that when I was about 16 years old. Our friend, Brother Ian Brown, who's going to be here, found himself in a jail cell one day when God got a hold of his heart. It began with small steps, but one day there was a big step of faith when God said, Ian, I want you to give up your career and I want you to go here. Will you do it? So let me ask you. God, for you, it might be, I want you to go from X amount of dollars a month in missions to X times Y for your algebra folks, amount. If God spoke, the question is, will you obey? Will you do it? That's what launching out by faith is. Remember, our series, Things We Surely Believe. Hey, we surely believe the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We surely believe we've learned about spiritual warfare. We surely believe in things like forgiveness and grace and mercy and love and the cross and the resurrection. Amen? Amen. But do we surely believe in launching out by faith? All in, fully committed. First of all, this morning, as we look at the main points today, first of all, the call to launch out is just that. It's a call to launch out by faith. Look what he says. Simple faith. He's got doubts. He's not sure. But he says, nevertheless, at thy word we'll go out. Can you imagine how tired he would have been? Anybody, who's ever in their life worked night shift? Who's a night shifter? We've got some even now. I mean, you worked the night shift, okay? Brother Bill's worked for years on night shift. And when you get done with your shift, most people that I've known on night shift, their number one priority is go home and go to bed. Well, Peter and these guys, they've just pulled an all-nighter. I mean, they have toiled all night long fishing. Can you imagine how tired they are? Can you imagine how depressed they are? Why are they depressed? No fish. They threw the net and pulled it in empty. And they tried on this side and they threw it in and empty. And they brought it back and they threw it out. And they brought it back and they threw it out. And just like all fishermen have teased, they've been teased, they felt a little something and they pulled it in. And there was nothing. They're tired. They're worn out. They're depressed. They're discouraged. Just leave us alone. Let us mend our nets. But there was, if I had stepped into that boat, well, guys, I have an idea for you. Maybe you should go back out one more time. Try again. They'd be like, well, what would you say to me? You'd be like, get out of my boat. Go away. You'd probably say some other uglier things to me, actually. Shut up, man. You don't know what you're talking about. But the difference, and that's the thing, the call of God on your life, the call of God on our life, it's not about a pastor or a preacher or a friend or a family member or a mom or a dad asking you to step out by faith. It's about the voice of the Lord Jesus calling you to step out by faith. There's authority in his voice. There may be doubt in the heart of the disciple, just like you and me. We may have doubt, but there's authority. Notice what Peter says. Peter says, nevertheless, at what? At thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word. What he's saying here, he says, I can launch out by faith because Jesus spoke, because it's the voice of the Lord. By the way, that's why it's so important that when you're in the Bible, when you're under the preaching, that you're listening for the voice of the Lord, expecting him to speak. We've been putting these little things in the bulletin each week, and I haven't highlighted one in a while, but if you would, if you saw it today, we do these little How to Make This Sunday Awesome. This one was a great one. It said, listen with expectancy. Open God's word, asking and expecting him to teach and change you. Expecting God's word to change you. Because when God speaks, when we clearly know that the Lord is directing us, there is freedom to say, I'm going to take the step of faith. So we can launch out by faith because it's Jesus speaking. But here's another reason I'd encourage you to take that step of faith. Because, just like Peter, we don't know. Now you're going to have to hang on for this one. We don't know what we don't know. Has anybody ever said that to you? My boss loves to say that to people. We have a lot of young people that work for our company, and he loves to say that. So somebody will come in and say, well, we've never done that, or this is what I think, this is my opinion, and he loves to say, he just doesn't know what he doesn't know. What's the point of that? The point is this. Peter, who's the expert fisherman here?
Jesus.
Thank you. But Peter doesn't realize that, does he? In Peter's mind, who's the expert fisherman? Peter. He just doesn't realize that Jesus made all the fish. He just doesn't realize that when Jesus speaks, the fish go where he wants them to go. He just doesn't know where they are. He puts them where he wants them to be. Peter doesn't know what he doesn't know. But in his heart, he's got enough to just take a little step of faith and say, hey, I don't think this makes any sense. And I got to tell you, through the course of my life and probably through the course of your life, when it came time for to turn in these, I lost it already, that faith promise there. When it came time to turn in these faith promise cards over the last 15 years or so, it did not always make sense to put a certain amount right there. It didn't make sense. If I looked at the budget, then the number here really kind of messed the budget up a little bit. But if it made perfect sense to me, I'm not encouraging anybody to be reckless or foolish, but what I'm saying is, if it always made sense to me, there wouldn't be a whole lot of faith exercise, would there? Come on now. If it always made sense to me, if the dollars always added up perfectly to me, if the decision always made sense to me, it wouldn't require a lot of faith. But we all have to learn as disciples that we don't know what we don't know. And God, we just got to believe by faith that God has a greater plan. God has got a bigger plan. And we've got to trust that, well, I don't know what I don't know. He knows what I don't know. And so the first step in launching out is to say, you know what, I can launch out by faith. Secondly now, and I love this part, we don't just launch out by faith, but we launch out, ready, into abundance. We launch out into abundance. All-time favorite story from the life of Jesus. Here it goes. Okay, nevertheless, we fished all night. I know this. I grew up on this boat. I fixed this net a lot of times. I know everything about where the fish are. I follow the fish. I know this lake like the back of my hand. If you want me to do it, I'll do it. But I just want you to know I think it's ridiculous. Well, he didn't actually say that. You've been there though, right? I'll do it, but I'm logging my protest. Nevertheless, at thy word. So they go out. They get out there, and they're mumbling. What are we doing? Why are you listening to that guy? Do you know who that is? Okay, fine, for a little bit. All right, okay. Well, just go over there. I mean, whatever, it doesn't matter. Go in, just go over there. Just do what he says, and we'll be done. Okay. You get the nets up. I don't know how you do nets. I'm just making this up right now. Something like this. They gather up all those nets. They look at each other, shaking their heads. Can't believe it. They throw it out. This is the part where we bring the net back in. They start bringing the net back in. And all of a sudden, something happens that they have never experienced before. And the mumbles turn into disbelief. And they look at each other, what's going to, help me, give me a hand, give me a, get over here. And they're pulling it, and they're pulling, I can't do it, you got to grab it. All of a sudden, they have completely forgotten, they're totally, it's out of their mind, the complaining, the doubt that they had, because now their task is just focused on, they can be not distracted at all, because their task is focused on bringing in those fish. Help us. And as they're pulling it in, and I believe it says that there are several nets, and they're trying to pull it all in, and there were so many that their net started to what? The net started to break. And it says they called to the other fishermen, hey, get over here, help us, help us. And they are scrambling from one side to the other. Somebody's jumping on the boat, and the boat's rocking back and forth, and they're pulling them in so much that the net breaks. And can you imagine, they get that thing up near the edge of the boat and they flop it over the side and there are just fish everywhere. I mean, there are piles of fish, flopping fish. There are fish jumping out of the boat. There are fish jumping into the boat. Everywhere they look, there are so many fish that the boats actually, they could not stay in the lake because what would happen? This boat's going to sink because there are so many fish. Get to land! Row to shore! Get this back! And all of a sudden, they realized that that's st- step that they thought was silly, that step that they just had to take by faith, all of a sudden what they realized was that Jesus was calling them into a life of abundance. You realize, folks, that Jesus will, do you believe that Jesus will always meet your need? A step of faith is proof that you believe that he will meet your need. But Jesus does not just meet the need that we have, he meets it more abundantly. He gives us more than we need. And I could go around the room in testimony to those that say, God called me to give to missions, and the Lord blessed, sometimes financially. I've experienced and known of other individuals who have experienced tremendous financial blessing because of a financial step of faith that they took. I've known others that haven't, though. Their blessing was in other forms. The blessing of a godly family. Money can't buy that for you. But the blessing of God can be there. Listen, the problem is we think we have a good idea of what we need, but the Lord knows more. And don't be afraid. If God's starting, do not be afraid, because if God is starting to call you to launch out, to take a big step of faith, don't be afraid, because the life he's calling to you is a life of abundance. We talk about sacrificial giving, but in the moment, it's a sacrifice. But in the scheme of our life, it is no sacrifice. It is only blessing. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow abundantly, you reap abundantly. Launch out your time, your talent, your treasure. Launch out by faith. Be prepared, because the Lord will surprise you with how good he is. It's amazing how many times people wrestle with the will of God. Don't know what they don't know. They fight, and when they finally let go, the Lord has called them into something they never experienced they would have. Number one, launch out by faith. Number two, launch out into abundance. Number three, launch out into acceptance. Launch out into acceptance. This is the life of the disciple. Look what happens. All of a sudden, the hubbub and the excitement from that huge catch, draft of fish, wears off. And all of a sudden, we get a glimpse into the mind of Peter. We get this all throughout the scripture. We get to know Peter more personally than most of the disciples. We get a glimpse into the heart and mind of Peter, and when he sees how good Jesus is, what sense overwhelms him? It's not gratitude. He's overcome immediately with a sense of what? Fear and guilt. Guilt. Why does he feel guilty? Because he had no faith. I mean, he had just enough faith, but he had no great faith. And what does he say? Look at what he says. Verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." You have power. You have blessing. You have abundance. I do not deserve this. Lord, I don't even deserve I do not deserve this blessing. I do not deserve to be in your presence. He was an undeserving doubter. But the goodness about knowing Jesus is that when he calls us to launch out, he's calling us to launch out in an undeserved acceptance that he offers us. The great thing is, will he call you to greater holiness? Will he call you to changes in your life? Of course he will. But it is true that he will accept you as you are, for who you are, if you're willing to let him change you. Look what he says to Peter. He says in verse 9, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken, and also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said, look at this at the end of verse 10. And Jesus said unto Simon, what's the two words he says?
Fear not.
Fear not. You see, as undeserving, as incapable, Simon doesn't know what's coming next. You do. You know what's coming next. He's about to get called to be a disciple. This is where the little step is about to turn into a giant step for the rest of Peter's life. In fact, if Jesus had told Peter the whole story right now, it probably would have completely scared Peter. Peter, come follow me, and then at the end of your life, you're going to die for me. Peter probably would have been, whoa, I'm not sure. But the Lord is gracious and good and accepting. And he does not see Peter for who he is right then, right there. He sees Peter for who he can make him to be. And that's what the Lord does for us. You'd say, yeah, but, you know, Brother Ethan, I get this lunch out by faith, but I could never be a missionary. I can't talk well. I can't, you know, I don't even like other food. I just eat at McDonald's. I don't know what I would do. I couldn't be a missionary. I couldn't be a preacher. I couldn't be a Sunday school teacher. I couldn't do this. I couldn't serve this way. I couldn't give because I don't have much. I couldn't do that. The Lord is not asking us to make ourselves acceptable. He will make us acceptable. He's calling us to launch out into his acceptance. His grace, and because Peter had a lot of mistakes still ahead of him. Peter would make a lot of errors on the road ahead. But God was never finished. Jesus was never finished with Peter. He had a plan. He had a purpose for his life, which is exactly what he has for us. And so what happens finally, as we move to our last point this morning, we're called to launch out by faith. We're called to launch out into abundance, into his acceptance. But then finally, and this is the don't lose me now, because this is where it comes to a decision, a choice that you have to make. And that's what preaching does. It brings us to a point of decision. And that is this. The big step, the little step, now turns into the big step. Because now Jesus says, I want you to launch out into commitment. I want you to launch out into a commitment. Why wouldn't, what does he say? Look with me. Verse number 10, the last part. Jesus said unto Simon, if you have a red letter Bible, this is where we'll pick it up. Yeah, fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Peter, you took that small little step. Now I'm asking you to take a big step. Don't be afraid. I accept you. I love you. You trust me. But this step I want you to take is a rest of your life kind of a step. This is a rest of your life kind of a step. You realize God calls us to rest of our life steps sometimes? From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. In the other gospel, I believe it's in Matthew, I will make you fishers of men, if you follow me. We teach the kids that I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men. I love that sometimes. Okay, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. He says, Peter, from now on, your purpose in life is not these boats, and these nets, and these fish. Your purpose in life is men, women, boys, and girls who need to hear the gospel. Friends, that is our purpose. The life of the disciple, from henceforth, is the life that is committed to others hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we each have a different part to play in that. The great missionary movement of the last century, early 1900s, there were in the industrial age when there were men were making the most wealth that had ever happened in any culture. There's a group of men, and my dad loves to tell these stories, and I don't know them as well as he does, but there was a group of men who dedicated their fortunes to classmates of theirs from university who had dedicated their lives to go to the mission field, They were friends of theirs who were not called to the mission field, but they dedicated their fortunes that they would raise to get those men there, to send them there. There was one man, particularly, who was a millionaire in the day's economy, but all he really possessed was one decent overcoat. Basically, you know, he owned more than that, but you understand what I'm saying. As far as his wealth and his, he had an overcoat. That's what he had. Everything else. The famous construction mogul of the early 1900s, Mr. Letourneau, R.G. Letourneau, was a famous millionaire who was known for reversing the tithe. He said, "Lord, you bless me with so much, I will live on the 10, and I will give you the 90. And throughout the course of history, there have been Christians, not all preachers, not all missionaries, who have realized that their purpose in life is the cause of the gospel. As I heard a pastor friend say this week, their church is also having missions. He challenged his church, and he says, are you so captivated by the American dream that you've missed the Great Commission?" Could we be so captivated by our American dream that we miss the Great Commission? I'm not telling you how to live or what to buy or any of those things. I would never do that. And you wouldn't do that to me either. But I am telling you that launching out is a call to complete commitment to the cause of Christ. Listen, you may be here today and you may not be ready for that. You may have only known Jesus for a little while. You're still learning about all of this stuff. That's great. The Lord will bring you where He needs you to be. You just take the small steps of faith. But you're here, somebody's here today, and God is speaking to your heart and saying it's time for you to launch out, either through giving or through a call to service, through some area. Will you obey His voice? Look what Jesus does for him. He gives him a new purpose. He gives him new values, doesn't he? Look what Peter does. Verse 11. "And when they had brought their ships to land," could you say the next three words with me? "When they had brought their ships to land," what?
They
forsook all and followed him. They learned that there is no shiny object in this world that is worth hanging on to and missing out on all that Jesus has to offer. But what happens to us is our hands get so full of all the stuff that we've accumulated and we just carry it around through life. It's not that we don't want any part of the Lord, we just carry all that stuff to church with us. You got a mental picture? I've got a mental picture in my mind. If we were to look around the room, you're sitting here, God wants to speak. Just imagine your neighbor in here with a big pile of their stuff all on top of them right now. So some of you kids, you can have more fun with this than the grown-ups, you know? It's like, how much stuff? My car be here, my television, and my house, my bank accounts. Jesus says, what you need to do, you need to take that big pile of stuff, and you need to leave it outside. You need to come and you need to let me speak to you. The amazing thing about the Lord is, you know what He does? Remember, He calls you into abundance. He'll end up taking a whole lot of that stuff. You know what He'll do with it? He'll give it to you. He'll give it. Trust in the Lord, delight also in Him, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He wants to bless us, but we have to trust Him to bless us as He knows best. But do we cling so hard to the things we value that we don't understand what He values? New purpose, new values, and it says they followed who? Him, a new master. A new master. Who's your master?
Jesus.
That's the right answer. The question is meant to be a bit rhetorical, though, to challenge you, to challenge all of us in the decisions I make. Who's my master? In my attendance, who's my master? My job or my Savior? In my giving, who's my master? My bank account or my Savior? In my service, who's my master? My preference for leisure and pleasure, or my master, or my Savior? He's a good and a gracious master. You're going to serve somebody with your life. It'll be yourself, it'll be your job, it'll be your family, it'll be your addictions. You will serve someone with your life. Why not serve the one who loves you? I mean, we talked about commitment. Our commitment is zero compared to the commitment he made for us. We talk about committing our lives to Christ as entering into salvation. I give my life to you. We can only do that because he committed his very life to us. So, as I said, the last point is a decision this morning. If we come and we hear the call to launch out, and we think about it, and we say, yeah, that sounds good, I should think about that, then really, I hate to say it, but much of what's been said would be wasted this morning. But if God has spoken to your heart today, you've taken the small steps, today you say, you know what? I don't even know what it is yet. Here's a good one for you. We're coming to invitation. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to invite you to respond to the preaching of the Word of God today. Maybe you'd say, God is speaking to my heart. There's a big step of faith I need to take, but I'm just not sure what it is yet. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, from henceforth I follow you. Maybe God's speaking to your heart and he hasn't revealed it yet because he's preparing you to say, where you lead me, I will follow. But maybe you're here today and you could be an adult, you could be a boy or a girl, and as far as the step of faith goes, you've never stepped out by faith to receive Jesus as your Savior. That's the most important thing. That's where it all begins. It begins with a person saying, my life is not my own. I'm a sinner on my way to judgment in hell. Jesus came committed to you, loving you, died for you. And all he asks for you to do is just take a little step of faith and say, Lord, I don't think I could be a great Christian, or I'm not much, but if you'll forgive me, I'll receive you. And he promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a very small step, but our selfishness and our own will pushes against it. It says, I can be good enough on my own. But Jesus says, no, I've done it for you. Just take that step of faith and believe in me. And that opens the door to a wonderful life of discipleship.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.